This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my good colleague, Michael Bernstein of the Hoover Institution, guides me through the sanctions regime upon the Russian Federation through the long conflict between Ukraine and Russia, or the way Russia has it, between Russia and NATO. We begin, however, with a story, a barter story. This is Reuters. In Moscow, you take rubles that you can't spend outside of Russia, and you buy wheat, lots of wheat. In Beijing or Shanghai, you are a trader, just like your opposite number in Moscow, but you take yuan, the Chinese currency, and you buy electric vehicles. And then you send the electric vehicles to Russia, and Russia sends the wheat to you. That is actually happening now. And Michael tells me we've gone back to the future. It's called barter, Michael. Does it make sense?
It makes sense when countries cannot conduct and cannot clear their trade with the currency that both countries would accept. And so the Chinese don't need Russian rubles. The Russians would happily take renminbi. They would take dollars and they would take euros, but the Chinese don't want to give it to them. And so there is a situation in which, luckily for the Russians and for the Chinese, it's a unique case that their export and import roughly balance. The total trade between Russia and China is $245 billion a year. And of that, $129 billion is Russian export, mostly oil and natural gas and some wheat and metals and natural resources. $122 billion is import of Chinese technology and Chinese electronics and Chinese manufacturing goods, including vehicles, and kind of they balance more or less with very little difference. And this way, if you do a huge accounting operation in which banks settle, clear of everything, the money never changes hands, the money goes on the books of the banks, but effectively they exchange goods. That unique situation, which wouldn't work with any other country, creates barter. But recall that barter used to be for centuries, for millennia. Money played very little role. Barter was the exchange of goods. Merchants traveled from country to country, so we are back to the Middle Ages here. But that's because Chinese banks are afraid of the secondary sanctions, because the United States and the EU now, in the new package of sanctions against Russia, they name and threaten specific Chinese banks. And banks are connected with the international banking system. Trade with Russia is not important for them. What is important for them is the relationship with the United States banking system, with the trade between the United States and China. And this way, they protect themselves. They don't process payments. They only put them on the books. And effectively, the exchange, they are middlemen, or some wholesale companies are middlemen, kind of bargaining and trading goods for goods, which is a Middle Ages way of doing trade.
There's inflation in Russia. There are doubts about its all defense, all the time model. There are shortages of workers. But I learned that from an article out of London. There are three reasons why Vladimir Putin is very comfortable, despite all the threats from Donald Trump and NATO. Why he does not believe that the sanctions will break his economy, because it would bounce back against the United States and Europe. The first reason is that the tariffs that Mr. Trump has threatened, the really tough ones, he hasn't done all of them. He hasn't done even a lot of them. He's done a few of them. Putin thinks he's bluffing, but the big one is when he was going to put huge tariffs on China, India, Turkey, Belgium, and Spain. This article says that would end the world economy. Is that correct, Michael?
Well, it is very, very difficult to do anything about major energy exporters, Saudi Arabia. You cannot sanction Saudi Arabia because they supply oil to for the world. You cannot sanction Russia in that sense because if you sanction their main product, oil and natural gas, it means that you remove from the world market a significant part, even a small country like Qatar. Very difficult to deal with them. Brunei, Indonesia, any oil exporter. Venezuela, fortunately, exports less than a million barrels per day, so it doesn't matter. Russia exports 7.3 million barrels of oil and oil products per day, which is 7% of total oil supply of the world of 106 million barrels. So if you remove, like in the case of Iran during the recent Middle Eastern war, if somehow there is a threat that just 1 million barrels or 2 million barrels would be removed from the world market, like Iranian oil is 1.6 million barrels per day, immediately the price goes $10 up. And if you remove the entire Russian oil, or even part of it that goes to India and China, 4 million barrels a day, that would mean that oil prices will skyrocket. This is why the Trump administration, Mr. Trump, they threaten China and India, oh, we will impose tariffs on you, 100% tariffs for buying Russian oil, and backed off. And now they're saying, oh, the Europeans, the European Union, you do it, and then the United States will do it. The European Unions cannot do it because they imposed embargo on Russian oil in 2022. They're not buying Russian oil anymore. Only two landlocked countries, Hungary and Slovakia, are buying Russian oil. Suddenly, they will have to end this, and they will have to impose sanctions on China and India, with whom they have huge trade, secondary tariffs. This just won't work.
What I think I'm seeing is that globalization supports Russia because they're integrated into the system and you can't take them out. If the price of gasoline spiked in the U.S., Mr. Trump's administration would be in profound trouble. So Putin knows that, correct? Globalization.
Oh, it is correct. You cannot secondary tariffs on big countries like China and India. You just cannot do it. When Trump threatened secondary tariffs on China, for example, 100%, the first sector will be affected is electronics. Because one-third of American electronics sold in the United States and going into American industry, $183 billion worth, comes from China. So you cannot just hit this industry. So Russia, in the position of selling oil, has unfortunately a very, very strong position. It is globalization, and it is still the energy dependence of industrial countries.
Did the Biden administration know that from the beginning, that sanctions would not persuade Putin?
Well, sanctions have first and foremost sanctions on oil-producing and major resource-producing countries have major political effect. Economic effect is limited.
Therefore, what we have here is a bulletproof Moscow. Yes, as long as they carry on in the war, they cannot be stopped with sanctions. Is that a correct summary?
They are dependent on the price of oil, and as long as the price of oil is going down because of the shale revolution in the United States, all United States oil and natural gas, liquefied natural gas, goes to Europe, that's where we hit them. We hit them on the price, not on the volume of exports.
Michael Bernstein, my guide on the sanctions regime that was supposed to bring Russia to the negotiating table. Not yet.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.